Okay, today's daf is Chulin daf Samach Dalid. We are holding on daf Samach Gimel Amid Beis. We are about 5 lines from the end of the page. Tan Rabbanan Lochim Beitzim Min HaOvdei Chavim. So what we're going to discuss today is one topic, eggs. So the first thing we're going to talk about is buying eggs from Ovdei Chavim. When can you trust them? That the eggs that they're selling you are kosher eggs. When can't you trust them? Then we're going to talk about what are the Simani Beitzim. Is there any way to look at the physical egg and be able to figure out whether it's a kosher egg or not? And if there is a way to figure it out, then what's the whole discussion about buying eggs from Ovdei Chavim? Why do I care who you're buying them from? Then the Gemara is going to discuss why it's important to be able to identify what is a beitzas hasheretz, meaning l'maynafkamina, whether it's a beitza of an oftame or a beitza of a sheretz. So we're going to discuss some halachic nafkaminas in identifying a beitzas hasheretz. The Gemara is going to talk about kosher and non-kosher eggs that are cooked together, what impact that has or doesn't have on the kosher egg. And then on Amud Beis, we're also going to talk about the blood that's found in an egg, and when that means you're going to have to throw away the entire egg, when it just means you're going to have to remove the blood, and even a possibility that there might be a circumstance where you don't have to do anything, but we'll see. And then the Gemara at the end is going to have the source for the idea that a beitzas of tameh is not kosher. How do I know that if a non-kosher bird lays an egg, that egg is necessarily not kosher? That's the assumption of the whole sugya. But how do I know that that's true? What's the source in the Torah? And that's going to lead us into a discussion of the nature of the bas hayana that's identified by the Torah as one of the non-kosher birds. So let's begin. Tan Rabbanan, 5 lines from the bottom of the page, Samach Gimel and Beis. Tan Rabbanan, Lochin Beitzim and Ovdei Chavim B'chol Makom. You can buy Beitzim from an Ovdei Chavim, from a non-Jew, wherever, and you're allowed to eat them. Vein Choshen, Lomishim Nevelos, Lomishim Trefos. You don't have to worry that maybe the egg is from a Nevela. Wait, if it's a Nevela, it means it's dead. It's not laying eggs anymore. No, it means that it's a Nevela. They opened it up and they found the egg inside of it, and that would be, the Beitzim would be a Nevela as well. Nor do you have to worry that it's from an animal that was a trefa that laid an egg, in which case it would be aser. I frek the Gemara, but v'dilma da'ov tamay ninu. Maybe I don't have to worry that it's from a nevela or a trefa, but why aren't I choshish at least that maybe it's from an ov tamay? Amar v'od Shmuel ba'omer shel ov ploni tahar. The case is that the Nachri, who's selling you the beitza, tells you that this beitza comes from a particular type of bird, which is a kosher bird. And we know that the bird that he's identifying is in fact a kosher bird. Why can I trust him on it? Because since it's something that we're going to be able to examine by ourselves by bringing other eggs from that type of bird and comparing them and seeing if they look the same, so the Nachri is going to be afraid to lie, and therefore in such a circumstance where he can so easily be caught in his lie, we're allowed to rely on him that he's not lying. Tosfos of here raises a fundamental question. The Gemara had said previously that there is no limit to the number of ofos tovrim, to the different types of kosher birds that there are. And yet, there are only 24 non-kosher types of birds, all identified in the Torah. So, shouldn't I just be able to rely on Rov? Why do I need the Nachri to tell me anything? Why do I need the fear that he's going to be caught in a lie? None of that. I should just take any egg from anywhere with any certification or not, and say it probably comes from the Rov, and the vast majority of ofos are kosher birds, and therefore the vast majority of eggs that come from ofos are kosher eggs. So Tosfos says, no, aside from the 24 minim tameim that the Torah identifies, so we mentioned already yesterday, Shita Satosfos, is that there are many, many others that have none of the four simane tahara. And anything that has none of the four simane tahara doesn't have to be on the list. Those are all non-kosher birds. And Tosfos says there are many like that. So you don't have necessarily a rove, because even though there are only 24 non-kosher birds identified in the Torah, there are many more that have none of the simane tahara. The Torah only really had to identify those that have some of the simane tahara, because the rule is anything that has some of the Simani Torah is normally kosher. Mm-hmm. Now, then Tosfos, even according to Shitas Rashi, that there's no other Ov Tameh that doesn't have any Simani Torah at all other than Nesher and Min Nesher, and therefore the only Ovos Tameh are the 24 that are mentioned in the Torah, but some of those Minim are really headings of categories, and there are many, many subcategories. The Gemara said previously that there are 100 Minim the Temeim, the Mizrach HaOlam, that are all a Min Ayah. So even though an Ayah is only one type of bird, but it's not really. There are 100 subcategories of an ayah. So just because there are only 24 mentioned in the Torah, it doesn't necessarily mean that the rove is going to be, that the rove of the birds in the world are in fact kosher birds. The Ramban, however, answers differently. The Ramban suggests that even if the beta comes from an of tahar, there's still a suffix. Maybe it's from a nevela, maybe it's from a trefa. So granted, the large majority are not from nevelas or trefas, but an egg from a nevela or trefa would be treif. It's just that we were matter because rov ha'ofos are not nevelas or treifos. But once you take that miut habetzim of nevelas and treifos and you combine that with the miut habetzim of ofos tmeim, it could be then you're already working with a rov or at least a 50-50 that are aser. So the Rashba rejects that teretz of the Ramban. He says if that were the case, then the Gemara should not have said that the suffix is maybe the beitzos of an of tameh. It should have said maybe the beitzos aser. And the reason that it's aser is not only because it's from an of tameh, it's a combination of factors, that maybe it's from an oftame, and also maybe it's from a nevelu trefa. So the Meiri has another approach. The Meiri suggests that even though the mine tahorim are merubim minatmeim, there are many more types of kosher birds than there are non-kosher birds, but the non-kosher birds have much larger populations, and therefore the majority of eggs that you're going to find are still going to be from the non-kosher, not from the kosher, even though there are so many different kinds of species, but they're very small in number in comparison to the non-kosher species. And then the Ran has a final teretz where the Ran suggests that lochem b'chal makom sounds like even you're allowed to buy them even samach l'midbaros, and samach l'midbaros is where all the ofos tmeim live. That you can't just look at the entire world; you have to look at what's indigenous to that region. And we're saying lochem b'chal makom, and there are definitely certain places where there are more ofos tmeim than there are ofos tarim, and yet you're still allowed to buy from an achri. So it's only in those places that we're saying this great chiddush that you're allowed to buy from an achri in these places. Now from what it sounds like in our Gemara, what does the guy have to tell you? Shal of ploni tahar. That the guy tells you it's this particular type of bird which is a kosher bird. So it sounds like the guy is neman to be made that it's from of ploni tahar. However, the Rambam in the third paragraph of Machlokes Asuros Paskins that you're not allowed to buy a beitza from Novik Chavim unless you're makir b'tvius ayin that it's shal of ploni. Unless you know, oh, that looks like a chicken egg. I've had chicken eggs many times, and that looks exactly like a chicken egg. And the Magen Mishnah's Medayik that the Rambam holds that a goy would not be naman to tell you that it's of ploni tahar. So the Rambam must have had a different girsa in this braisa. He must have not been goreis that we're talking about a goy. He must have been goreis that we're talking about a Jew who's not muchzak bekashus. And on such a person will be somech that he's not lying. But a non-Jew, even in such a circumstance, we cannot rely on him according to the Rambam. The Ramban writes that the braisa is talking about a non-Jew, but a Yisrael chashud would be naman even if he just says that it's from an of tahar without identifying which type. You see, because if identifying which type is much more specific and therefore the person will be much more afraid to lie. So the Ramban says, yeah, there is a difference between a non-Jew and a non-religious Jew, but the difference is in that a non-Jew has to identify the min, whereas a non-religious Jew does not have to identify the min, he just has to tell you that it is kosher. So ask the Gemara, why does the Nachri have to say that it's from of ploni tahar? V'lema shal of tahar. Why isn't it good enough that he just tells you that it's from a kosher bird? Ihachi isle l'shamute. No, because then you're never going to be able to catch him in the lie. If he identifies the min, so you can say, oh, you say this is from a chicken? Let me take some other chicken eggs and compare them and see if they look the same. But if he doesn't tell you what min it is, he'll just claim that it's an of tame. He'll say, no, it's some other of tahar that you're just not familiar with. So says Gemara v'livdok b'simanim. But wait a second. Why do we need any of this? Why do I need any ne'amanos? Aren't there simanim to be able to tell whether an egg is from a kosher bird or not? Why can't I just check out the simanim? The time, because after all, the Braisa tells us kisimane beitzim kach simane dagim, that the same simanim that we have for eggs are the same simanim that we have to be able to tell if a fish is kosher or not. Says Mar, wait a second, I got to call you out on that one. Simani dagim sal gadaitach. Snapper of kaskas is amrachmana. Eggs don't have what simani dagim are. Simani dagim are fins and scales. Eggs don't have fins and scales. That's obviously not what the Bryson means to say. Ela ema kach simane uvre dagim. It means that the eggs that are inside the fish, to be able to tell if those eggs are kosher or not, you would use the same simanim that we tell for regular eggs. The Rif has a different kir, so not ubre dagim, but kirbe dagim. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Mem has a machlokas exactly how to be gores. This machlokas comes up. The reason the machlokas is that if you gores kirbe dagim, then you hold that la halacha, the klal that the Gemara over there says, that a dag tahar is matil beitzim, and a dag tame is mashritz vlados, but it's not matil beitzim. So any dag that's matil beitzim, by definition is a dag tahar, then there's no need for simanim of beitzim. A dug tar. If it's matil beitzim, it's a dug tar. So the simanim would have to be about the kirbe dagim, not about the beitze dagim. But the girsa that has ubre dagim will say that even though the dug has beitzim, still we're not samich la'alacha on that klal that only a dug tar is matil beitzim. It's not an absolute rule, and you need simanim on top of that to be able to know for sure that you can rely on it. But the bottom line is that there are simanim of beitzim. The whole question is, what is like the simanim of beitzim? Okay, so fish are not like the simanim of beitzim. It may be kirbe dagim, maybe ubre dagim, but there are simanim of beitzim that we're assuming exist. So why do I need the guy to tell me it's from a kosher bird? I don't need any of that. Just look at the egg. V'tani gabe beitzim. And the Brisa says, when it comes to beitzim of ofos, elu hein simanim beitzim. Here are the simanim. Kol shekoderes va'agulgeles. If it is round and but it's not mamish round like a ball, rosha echad kad v'rosha echad chad. Rather, one end of it is a little flatter and one end of it is a little sharper. Tahora, that is a kosher egg. Shnei rosha echadin o shnei rosha echadin. If both ends of the egg are wide, flat, and or both ends of the egg come to a point, tamein. Then you know that that's a simon, that's from an ov tame, that's asur ba'achila. Additionally, there's another simon, chelbon, the white, mibachutz, is on the outside, v'chelmon, mibifnim, and the yolk is on the inside, tahora, then it's kosher. Chelmon mibachutz v'chelbon mibifnim, tameya. But if you find that the yolk is on the outside and the white is on the inside, then that is a non-kosher egg. Then you cannot eat it. So we have these two simonim. Dr. Tshuva quotes in Simon Pei Vav that if you find a beitza that has only chelbon without chelmon, yesh osrim, and some say that if it's very small, then it's kosher because it's the derech of a tarnagoldas. When a tarnagoldas ages and is about to stop being matil beitzim, that the last beitza that it's matil is very small and has only chelbon. La'alach l'maisa, he quotes from many poskim that if you find it in a lul shel tarnagolim, you could be somech on that, because amongst the lul shel tarnagolim there must be an aging tarnagolas, and that's probably where it came from. But the Gemara assumes when going through the simanim that it has both chelbon and chelmon. So of course poskim have to account for the possibility of what if you find one without the other. Fine, but you see all of these simane beitzim, and the Brisa adds chelmon v'chelbon mu'uravin zebze. Let's say it's not clear that one is on the outside, one is on the inside, but they're all mixed together. Biyadua shi beitzas hasheretz. Then you know that it's not a beitzas hof at all. That's a beitzas hasheretz. So the Gemara later on is going to say l'maynaf kamina whether it's a beitzas hof tame or a beitzas hasheretz. Why would that make a difference? But bottom line is that you do see that there is a way to tell whether an egg is kosher just by looking at the egg without knowing what bird it came from. So why does the Gemara tell us that you're allowed to buy an egg from Novik Chavim as long as he tells you that this is from a kosher bird? You don't need any of that. Just look at the egg. Says Mar Lotzricha de Chatuchos. The Brisa that I have to say that you're allowed to trust to Nachri was talking about where the eggs were cut, and therefore you're not able to check if it's Agula or Chad or Kad on one side, you know, whether it's sharp or wide on one side or the other. Rabbeinu Gershom explains that it means that the klipa is chatucha, that you buy beitzim chayos without their klipa, and the tzura of the beitzah is no longer nicker. But the Meiri writes that the beitzim themselves are muvushalos v'chatuchos. That means that they're actually cooked and they're cut, and therefore the Amtachas Binyamin asks, how could you say that it's talking about beitzim chatuchos Anyway, that should be asur. That's a violation of bishul akum. I mean, if you're buying from a guy, so forget about the ne'amanus that it's from a kosher min, but you would have a different problem of bishul akum. So you have to figure out if there's any way to make an egg in a way that's not olal shulchan malachim and would therefore not be a violation of bishul akum. But anyway, we're talking about but leaving out the avodah zarah sugya of bishul akum in terms of just identifying the egg. Okay, if the egg is not identifiable because it is chatucha, then you're allowed to trust the nachri. Says Gemara, but v'livdok b'chalmon v'chalbon. Can't you still check where the yolk is and where the, even if it's cooked, even if it's broken, you can still check where the yolk is and where the white is. No, but trufos b'kar, it's all mixed together, it's mushed together in the plate. So asks the Rashba, if it's trufos b'kar, then why should the guy even be believed? I mean, what was the whole svara? What was the whole reason we believe the guy? Because the guy's going to be afraid to lie. He's going to be afraid to tell you this is from a kosher bird when it's not. When he's identifying which kosher bird, he's saying it comes from a pigeon. So what are you going to do? You're going to take another pigeon egg and you're going to put it next to this egg and you're going to see whether they look the same or not. But if what he's giving you is not an egg, he's giving you a mushed up egg, so you're not going to be able to identify by comparison. So then we weiter shouldn't believe the guy anymore. So the Tosa Rosh also asked the same kasha. So the Rashba suggests that the Gemara could have said that it's a beitza true for the guy would not be believed because there's no way to be makir what bird it comes from. But the Gemara has a different kasha anyway. So the Gemara will just ask a different kasha. Furthermore, the Rashba says maybe even by a beitza trufa you can still compare it. All you have to do, if he tells you this egg comes from a chicken, take another chicken egg, prepare it in the same way, and see if it comes out the same. If you were to take other types of eggs and try to prepare them in the same way that you prepare chicken eggs, it probably would not look the same. So maybe you could still chap him on it. So maybe that's why the Gemara is assuming the guy would have ne'amanus. But anyway, the Gemara says, wait, if the beitza is trufa b'ka'ara, it's all mushed up and cooked in a plate, you're going to be allowed to buy it from a guy. V'atanya ein mochrin beitza trefa lo ovid chavim. You're not allowed to sell the beitza of a tarnagolas that's a trefa to an ovid chavim because he might turn around and sell it to a Jew. Elim kein trufa b'ka'ara. But if it's all mushed up in a plate, then it's fine. Then you're allowed to sell it to a nachri because when it's trufa b'ka'ara, no Jew is going to buy it from the nachri. Because if you're going to allow Yisrael to sell a beitza that's asr b'achila when it's trufa b'ka'ara to a nachri, it's because you're assuming that there is such a halacha that nobody is allowed to buy a beitza trufa b'ka'ara from a nachri. The fichach a lochin me'em beitzim trufas b'ka'ara, because you always have to be choshesh that maybe it's not a kosher egg. So if that's the case, you cannot tell me that the brisa that allows you to buy an egg from a non-Jew is talking about a beitza trufa b'ka'ara. No, the very basis of the halacha of selling a beitza trefa to a nachri is on the assumption that if it's trufa b'ka'ara, no Jew would ever buy it from him. So we're back to the kasha, that if Yisrael buys regular full eggs from a guy, why do I need the edus of the guy? Just look at the egg, look at the simanim of the egg. If the egg looks like a kosher egg, Ella Amar Rabbi Zeira Simanim Lav Daraisa. Where do these simanim come from? It's not Allah L'Moshe Misinai. It's not in the Torah, and therefore Al Pirov the simanim are correct, but you cannot rely on them lahalacha. You need something more to rely on. Ella, so that's simanim Lav Daraisa. Di Lote Machi. And if you're not going to say that, Hadam Ravasi Shmona Sveko saying when Ravasi on Samach Beis Amid Beis told us that there are eight types of birds that are a suffek, whether they are kosher or non-kosher birds. What do you mean? Suffolk lived up with baits into two. Just look at the eggs that they lay, and if the eggs have simani kashrus, then you know that it's a kosher bird. If the eggs don't have the simani kashrus, you'll know it's a non-kosher bird. How could a bird ever remain besuffolk whether it's kosher or non-kosher? The Ramban raises the question: what do you mean? Maybe the simin is that it's not an of tame when it has simanim of a baitsas of tahar. But when you find a baitsa that has simani tara, so then it's you know it's from an of Tar, but maybe there are ofos tahorim that have beitzim that have simanei tuma. Meaning, maybe the rule is not ironclad. Meaning, maybe if you're able to tell if it has the one edge that's flat and one that's sharp and it's round and it has the chalbon and chalbon the way it's supposed to be, then you know for sure it comes from a kosher bird, not from a non-kosher bird. But it could be that there are kosher birds that also lay eggs that don't have the simanei tahara. Maybe the simanim are not a two-way street, and therefore, if you find a beitzah with simanei tuma, it's asr b'achila because it might be from an of tame, but it's only misafek, and you can't be poshet the status of the bird based on that. So the Ramban says, no, it can't be. It can't be that there are kosher birds that have beitzim that have simani tuma, because the Brice had said that a beitzas of that has shnei rosh ha'echadim or shnei rosh ha'agulim is vaday tmeya. The Brice didn't just say, oh, these are simanim to know for sure that an egg is kosher. The Brice also said, and if you don't have these simanim, you know for sure the beitza is not kosher. So it's not possible that Ramban says that it's a one-way street. It's got to be a two-way street. So then that's why the Gemara has this good point. How could you ever have a bird that's a suffix? Just look at the eggs and be able to tell whether the bird is kosher or not. El shmamina, simam lav daraisa. So it must be that you're not allowed to rely on simanim because the simanim are not daraisa. So we're not allowed to rely on the simanim alone. Rabbeinu Tam's shita is that even the maskanas haGemara only simani ofos are only that it's only simani ofos that are only midrabanan and you can't rely on, because the beitzei orev are similar to beitzei yona. We'll see soon, but simani beitzei dagim, the Gemara never says that you can't rely on them. So by simani beitzei dagim, where the Gemara we don't find in the Gemara that there's a min dagim tmeim that has simani tara, so you could be somech on the simani mida oraisa. However, many Rishonim disagree with that Rabbeinu Tam. Many Rishonim quoted in Tosos and the Ramban say that no, the Gemara's maskana is that simanim of all beitzim, beitzei ofos, beitzei dagim, they're not simanim that are alach l'moshim Sinai, and therefore you're never allowed to rely on them. Okay, so says my hilchsa ketanila. If you're not allowed to rely on these simanim because the simanim are not alach l'moshim Sinai, and they therefore are not a din d'oraisa, so why do we even bother mentioning the simanim? Of what value, what use is are the simanim? So says my hachi kamar. Here's what the Brisa means to tell me. Shnei rosh ha'kadin. If you have two, both ends of the egg are flat, meaning the egg looks like a ball, it doesn't come to a pointy edge. Oh, shnei rosh ha'kadin, or both edges of the egg do come to a point, meaning there's not one side that's a little bit flatter. Oh, chelmon mibachutz v'chelbon mibefnim, or the yolk is on the outside and the white is on the inside. Vaday tmeya. Then you know for sure that it's not kosher. And even if the Ovid Chacham says that it comes from a kosher bird, he's a liar. It doesn't come from a kosher bird. Reshe chad chad, but if one edge is chad and reshe chad kad, and the other edge is kad, meaning like our eggs, like eggs of chickens, where one edge comes to a point and the other one is much flatter. Vechelmon mibachutz, vechelmon mibifnim, and the yolk and the white is the chelmon, the yolk is on the inside, the chelbon, the white is on the outside. Va'amar lach, and the guy says shel of ploni v'taharu, that this is from a kosher bird and it is therefore and he identifies which bird. Some smoch aleihem, you're allowed to be somech on them. The combination of the guy telling you and the simanei tara are enough to be somech. Bistama, but if the Ovid Chacham says that it's from a kosher bird, but he doesn't say which kosher bird, lo tismach aleihem, then you cannot be somech on the simanim. De'ika du'urva de'dami l'diyona, because sometimes the egg of an orev looks a lot like the egg of a yona, so you're not always going to be able to identify based on the simanim of the eggs. But bottom line is the simanim are helpful; they're an indicator, but they're not an absolute raya. So when you have other indications as well, namely that the guy is telling you that it's from a kosher bird and he identifies the kosher bird that it's from, then you can rely on the simanim. Amar mar. Chelbon v'chelbon u'ravin zeba zeb yadur shi beit sasheret. So one of the things we said is that the chelbon and the chelbon, the white and the yolk are all mixed together, then you know that beit is from a sheret. So my hilchsa, who cares if it's a beit from a sheret or from an oftame? Either way, I'm not allowed to eat it. So I'm ravuk bar chama lomar shi imrikma v'nikva, if the sheret is formed on the inside of that egg, and there's a hole, there's a puncture on the shell of the egg, metame b'kadasha. Then the base is going to be metame with the sherets inside of it, b'kadasha. That there's such a thing called tumas shratzim that you're not going to have if it's just a base of an of tame, and tumas shratzim will apply even to the egg once there's a formed sherets on the inside of it, and there's some sort of hole in the outer layer so that you have access to that sharetz that's on the inside. Maskev la Ravina, so Ravina says, how could you say that the beitza, that the chelmon and the chelbon are all mixed together, is metame, v'dilma d'nachashi? Maybe that's a beitza of a nachash, which looks like a beitza sharetz, and the chelmon and the chelbon also would be mixed together, but an avela of a nachash meis is not metame, it's not like a sharetz. A nachash doesn't have the din of tumas shratim. The Gemara is making the assumption that a nachash is matel beitzim. In the Nimuke Chayim, he asks that the Gemara Maseches Bechoros of Chesam Beis says that the iburo shel nachash is sheva shanim, that the gestational period of a nachash is 7 years. And Rashi writes that the ibur shoa b'me'er shel nachash sheva shanim, that the fetus stays in its womb for 7 years. Sounds like the nachash is misaberes molid, that's not matel beitzim. So you got to figure that out. How this jives with the sugya Maseches Bechoros. Okay, but bottom line is our Gemara is assuming that there are Beitze Nachash, and Beitze Nachash will have very similar characteristics to Beitze Shratzim. So how can you just necessarily assume that when an egg has Chelbon and Chelbon all mixed together, that it's a Beitze Sheretz? Maybe it's a Beitze Nachash. So that can't be the Nafkamina and being able to identify a Beitze Sheretz. Ela Amarava, Nafkamina is as follows. Shimrikma v'achala lokala mishum Sheretz ha-Sheretz ala aretz. That if a Sheretz has formed inside of it and you eat it, then you are in violation of the losaseh of sheretz hasheretz ala aretz, and that's true whether it's a nachash or a regular sheretz. Sheretz hasheretz ala aretz applies to a nachash as well. So that's what the brisa has to tell me, that you have to be able to identify that this is the egg of a sheretz and not of an ov tameh. Because let's say you're about to eat it and someone says, no, you can't do that, you're going to be in violation of lav, you can get malchus for sheretz hasheretz ala aretz. But really, you only violated sheretz ha'ov and not sheretz hasheretz ala aretz. You're not going to get malchus. You need hasra for the right isser. So in order to be able to get hasra for the right isser, it's important for someone to be able to identify what the egg really is. Ihachi, if that's the case, my iri de tmeya filu de taranami. Well, why does the Bryce have to tell me what the simon of Beitza Sheretz Tame is? Even in a froach of nof tar, yavalos hasei de tanya, because the Bryce tells us when it says in the pasuk by the isser of achilas shratzim, kol hasheretz hasheretz ala aretz lirabos efrochim shlo niftuchu einayim, that the violation of Sheretz HaSheretz Al Aretz applies even to Afrochim, to chicks that have not even opened their eyes yet. That's also what Asr Mishum Sheretz. So every Afroach inside a Beitza that hasn't opened its eyes yet and is always Asr Mishum Sheretz. So the Shaila goes back. Why does the Brice have to be Mechadesh that this is a Beitza Sheretz? Says Gemara, Midrabanon V'kras Machta B'Alma. The Isser to eat an Afroach that has not yet opened its eyes, that's not really a Din D'Araisa. That's only a Din Midrabanon. The fact that we quote a Pasuk is only an asmach to bialma, but midaraisa, it's not asa mishum sheretz. So the price has to be mechadish to us that an afroach from a beitza that's chelmon and chelbon are muravim together, that's asa mishum sheretz midaraisa. Unlike a sheretz of an oaf that's an afroach shalom niftuchay enav, where it's only going to be a sheretz midrabanan. Okay, now we're going to discuss a number of isurim that relate to eggs. Tan rabban, giule beitzim mutaros. If you cook a kosher and non kosher egg together in the same pot, then it's going to be mutter. The kosher egg is going to be non kosher. Egg remains non-kosher, but the kosher egg is going to be mutter. We're not worried about the tam of the non-kosher egg affecting the kosher egg, because the tam of beitzim is non-existent. The beitzim tastes like water, and therefore the tam is not going to have any effect. The Prima Godman Yardesim Pevav and the Mishpasel Zav has a suffix. Does that mean that it's not no same tam at all, just like mayim has no tam at all? Or maybe no, it has a tam kalush, just not enough of a tam to actually affect the other egg. It's enough kamina would be that sometimes something's even aser b'mashehu, like a davar sheyesh matirin, there's no bittul, be aser even b'mashehu. So what if this beitza somehow were a davar sheyesh matirin? So do we assume that there is a time of iser, it's just very kalush, in which case it would not be batal if it's a davar sheyesh matirin? Or do we assume that it is not a time at all, in which case it would be mutter? Okay, but that's one halacha. Cook a kosher and non-kosher egg together, the kosher egg remains kosher. Now we get into the issue of blood as far as eggs are concerned. Beitzim muzarus. If you have a beitzim tarnagolas that was never impregnated by a zachar, that was never fertilized by a zachar, so there's no efroach that's going to be forming on it. So the mother might be sitting on the egg the entire time, but it's just going to turn gross. It's not going to actually form into anything. Nefesh yafa tochlin. A person who's not an istinus and is not disgusted by such eggs is allowed to eat them because it's not an isser mitzad halacha. The only isser is that it's ma'u. And even if you find dam in the beitza, the meikar adin, the halacha would be that's mutar b'achila because the beitza was not notzar al yedei zachar, so there's never going to be an efroach. The dam is not the beginning of a yetziras efroach; it's the dam from the guf of the tarnagolas that entered into the beitza. So wherever you find the dam, the beitza is mutar b'achila. That's going to be that's the shita of the Rashba and the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach. And there are discussions in Rishonim whether you're allowed to eat the dam itself, but the rest of the egg you're for sure allowed to eat because it's not the beginning of an efroach if you have an egg that never had any access to a male, right? The egg just came from a female, never had any access to a male. And it's true the egg is disgusting, but as long as you're not an istinus, it's not disgusting to you, and therefore you're not going to be in violation of Baal Teshaksu. So right there, two very, very big topics that have to be discussed at least for a couple of minutes over here. First of all, any egg that never had access to a male, we're going to say that even if you find dam, you're allowed to eat it. What does that say for us in 21st century America, where all of the eggs that we buy less, it's like free range, organic, you know, those kinds of things. If your eggs look white, right? If your eggs look normal, right? You buy, you know, from some major farm that sells eggs, so they never had any access to a male. They keep them very separate from the male. So should we assume that eggs don't need to be checked? And if you do check them and you find blood, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Never had access to a male. So many achronim say bismanenu, yeah, that it's not going to be a problem. And because there's no tarnagol b'mechitzasam of the tarnagoles. So that's what the Minchas Yitzchak writes in the Tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Vav. He's talking in England. He thought that they were all moter. And Rav Moshe writes similarly in Yerdeh Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Vav and Aruchaim Chelek Gimel Siman Samach Aleph. Rav Moshe writes, even though sometimes it may be that a zachar will sneak in and will be able to be megadol ben afrochim, but that's such a tiny minority that you could definitely rely on a rove in such cases. But Rav Moshe says, eggs are so cheap, and most people there wouldn't be a hefset at all. So tov lahachmir, throw out the egg if you find blood in it. You might as well, but he doesn't think that lahalacha you have to. He just said, you know, eggs are so cheap; it's not it would not be considered a hefset in America. Rav Menashe Klein in the Tshuvas Mishnah Halachos Chedavsim Tzadibav, you know, it's hard to argue the halacha over here, meaning the halacha seems that it's totally mutter. So Rav Menashe Klein says, yeah, but there is a separate halacha in Hilchos Hora'a, in when you paskin halacha, that you're not supposed to be matir something that's tamua l'rabin. You're not supposed to say something that everyone's going to say that's so strange, and people will find it weird and they're not going to accept it. He said, if you go tell people that eggs that have blood in it are mutter, that it'll be tamua l'rabin. Everyone remembers that their bubby used to, so they're not going to. And what happens if the circumstance changes? What happens if everyone goes with free range and, you know, the whole country changes and then now all of a sudden we have to bring back the Yisr of Dam and Beitzim? So again, La Halacha Pashtus is throw out the Dam. Okay, the Choshish for those Shitos, that you have to at least throw out the Dam. It's not clear that you have to check for Dam because the chances that there are Dam are very, very minimal, and it's a Miyot Sheinu Matzui. And even if there is Dam, there are some poskim that it would actually be mutter in that case, but okay. But minig is that people check for dam, and if you see the dam, you throw out the dam. Rav Moshe says you might as well throw out the egg. It's easy enough to throw out the egg. So that's one issue. The other issue over here is just in the nature of Baal Teshaksu. What do we say? The egg, it was never fertilized, so it's just going to get disgusting. So okay, if it's disgusting and you're not disgusted by it, you're allowed to eat it. So that's a discussion in the Achronim. When is Baal Teshaksu dependent on the person? That if a person is not, you know, they once had a night activity in camp that they wanted to do. There was apparently a popular show, I don't know if it's still popular, Fear Factor, where they would have these people do disgusting things and just see how long. So they wanted to do it as like a night activity in camp. So they asked the Shaila, are they allowed to do it? I don't know what kinds of things they wanted to do, but it sounded like Baal Teshaksu, like a lot of different forms and creative ways of violating Baal Teshaksu. So the question is, but if the kid's not disgusted by it, the kid's like, I eat mud pies all the the time. You know, he's just not bothered by it. It's not a, so is that a violation of Bal Teshaksu? So the Pri Chadash points out from our Gemara that when it comes to Bal Teshaksu, normally says we don't follow the Rov. We follow each and every person. And even if it's Ma'us to Rov B'nei Adam, if it's not Ma'us to you, then it's perfectly fine. But the Pri Megadim quotes from the Knesset HaGadola, who disagrees with the Pri Chadash and holds, no, it depends on Rov Ha'olam. So the Stechemet has a letter from the author of Amudei Eish, so that how can we be Mechalek? Why would we make a machlokas unnecessarily between the Pri Chadash and the Knesset HaGadolah? Maybe there's a simple way to reconcile them. Maybe there's a difference between something that there is a significant segment of people that are simply not disgusted by it. Right? When I was growing up, most people would have been disgusted by raw fish. Right? Nowadays, most people are not disgusted by it. But there was always a significant segment of people that were not disgusted by raw fish, that thought sushi was delicious. So if there's a significant segment of people that are not disgusted by it, then it depends on the individual. But if you're mamish an outlier, it's really objectively disgusting, and you're the only one that thinks it's not disgusting, maybe that would be a violation of Bal Teshaksu. The Yerushalmi says in Maseches Peah that the mother of Rabbi Yishmael used to wash her son's feet and drink the water afterwards. So they raise the question, Bal Teshaksu, how is she allowed to do that? Isn't that a violation of Bal Teshaksu? So, and that, even according to the Gedra we just said, L'chor, the whole world, other than his own mother, thinks that that's Bal Teshaksu. So then the Divrei Davidi suggests that that maybe there's a different Gedra over there. Maybe when you're talking about something that physically is not, you know, if you were to just look at the water and no one were to tell you its history, you wouldn't necessarily say it's disgusting. It doesn't look that disgusting. How much dirt already was on his feet? It doesn't look so dirty. So if you're really thirsty, maybe it's only the knowledge of the history of it that makes it disgusting. So for her, that didn't bother her, the knowledge of its history. Maybe that would not be considered Bal Teshaksu in that sense, because it's not something that's fundamentally disgusting. Okay. It depends on circumstance. Sefer Chaker Halachi points out, you know, that there are certain things that might otherwise be disgusting. Milk of magnesia or something. A person has constipation. It's disgusting. Why would anyone ever drink a Pepto-Bismol? It's disgusting. Why would someone ever drink it? But if you need it, then you'll drink it, and you're not going to be disgusted by it. So that's why the poskim write that anything that's mishum refuah, even for a chol shein bo sakana, is the shach writes in Yerodeh and in Simen Pei Aleph, that it's not a violation of Bal Teshaksu, and that's what the Pri Megadim explains, that it's not shayach Bal Teshaksu because it doesn't fit the geder of Bal Teshaksu. Anything that you need for your refuah, you're not going to consider disgusting anymore, and it's therefore not going to be Bal Teshaksu. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. If you find a little bit of dam in a beitzes tarnagolas, now this is switching. Now it's talking about a beitzes tarnagolas that is nisabra mizachar, that did have access to a zachar. That's the way Rov Rishonim read this. That's how Rashi reads it and Rov Rishonim read it. Then you throw out the dam and you can eat the rest of it. That's only if you find the dam by the chelbon, by the kesher, by the wider part of the egg where the zera of the tarnagol is going to be. That's how you know that it's just the beginning of the yetziras ha'efrach, but it hasn't extended anywhere beyond that, and that's why you could throw out the dam and eat the rest of it. Tani dustai avo de Rabbi Afturiki, dustai, the father of Rabbi Afturiki said, lo shanol shenimtza al chelbon shala. That's only if you found it on the kesher of the chelbon. Avol nimtza al chelmon shala, but if you found it on the chelmon and not on the chelbon, if you found it on the yolk and not on the white, then afilu beitza asura, then the whole egg is going to be asura. My taima, the shadu tichla bakula, because the kilkul is going to spread to the entire egg. The dam has already spread. You have to assume if that's where you find it. Amalei Rav Gavia mi Beit Kasil le Rav Ashi. Rav Gavia from a place called Beit Kasil said to Rav Ashi, one of the chachamim we used to teach brisos taught this brisa in front of Abaye lehepach, that it's only mutter to eat the egg when you find the dam on the chelbon, but if you find it in the chelbon, the whole egg is going to be aser. And Abaye was misakin the tana to the correct girsa, that lo shanu, that the rest of the beitz is mutter only when you find it on the chelbon, but if you find it on the chelbon, the rest of the beitz is going to be aser. Period. Amar chiskiya minayin lebeitzas Tameya Shia Surah Min HaTorah. Where do we find that there's such a thing, that an egg that comes from a non-kosher bird is necessarily non-kosher? Shneamar Vez Bas Hayana V'Chibas Yesh Liyana. Does the Yana have a bas? It's matil beitzim. It doesn't have a bas in the normal way. Ezo, zo beitza temeya. It must be that it's referring to a beitza temeya, that it calls it that's bas hayana and not the Yana, to tell me that not only is the Yana itself usser, but its egg is also going to be usser. The Rishonim raised the question, of course, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that a beitza of tamei is not kosher? Kala yotzi min hatamei is tamei. Anything that comes out of something that's not kosher is not kosher. So the Rishonim work on that kasha, but not for now. Says Gemara, V'dil Mahainu Shemayu. Wait, how do you know Bas Hayana refers to the egg of a Yana bird? Maybe the bird is called a Bas Hayana. So says Gemara, Lo Salka Daitach. Tichsev Bas Ami La'achzar Kaya'anim Bamidbar. That you see that it refers to the bird as Ya'anim. V'lo, but is there really no such min? Can you not say that Bas Yana is the name of the min? V'aksiv, but the Pasuk says, Esa Mispar Katanim Ve'evel Kibnos Yana. So says Gemara, no, ki Yana Zusha Misabel is Albaneha. Benos Yana is not the name of the min. It's saying like the Yana that's Misabel about its banim. Vaksiv Vishachnu Sham Benos Yana. Again, ki Yana Zusha Shochenes in Baneha. That's like a Yana whose nature is to reside together with its banim. Vaksiv Tichabdeni Chayas Hasad Tanim Uvenos Yana. Visal Kadaitach Beitza. Beitza Bas Memer Shiri. Now this pasuk is talking about things that the Bas Yana saying Shira. If a Bas Yana means an egg, eggs don't say Shira. Eliksiv Hayana Uksiv Bas Hayana. So the Gemara says sometimes it calls the Mini Yana, sometimes it calls it a Bas Hayana. The Shiny Yachad, the pasuk Safal is Shtei Tevos. And over here it's different because the Sofer puts it in two separate words. Umi the pasuk Lu Safra Bitarti Tevos Shema Mina Trei Shemos Ninu. From the fact that it's in two separate words, you see that Bas is not part of the title. It is the Bas of a Yana, and that's how we know that it's referring to a Beitza. Beis Hashem will continue that conversation tomorrow.